Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. Open your Bibles, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing our series on this quality of heaven, looking this morning at a life worth imitating. Page number's up on the screen. My name's Dennis, glad to be with you. Welcome to everybody online and in the various places around our campus. One of the greatest gifts that has been given to the church since its founding has been godly women and men who have dedicated their lives and made significant sacrifices to advance the cause of Christ in our world. Many of their names are very, very familiar to us, like the apostles Peter and Paul, and their stories are recorded for us in the scriptures to give us examples of what it really means to live as citizens of the colony of heaven. They're not perfect examples for us, but they are folks who have made Jesus their king and have dedicated themselves, totally dedicated themselves to the Lord in everything that they have done. And as a result, we're challenged to imitate their lives. The Apostle Paul very, very boldly said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now that's a pretty bold statement to make. It wasn't because Paul was perfect, but he was all in. He was committed to this colony of heaven and pledging of the allegiance that he made. He was going to actively live it out. Very, very lofty and high models for us to copy. Yet in their scriptures, there's also all kinds of lesser known examples of people that we say imitate these folks. And that's what we're going to look at in our text in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 30. We're going to look at two kind of backstage models of people who were carrying out the principles that the Apostle Paul had written about in this letter. Their names are Timothy. Are you familiar with him? And maybe a name you're not familiar with, Epaphroditus. Two models for us to copy. And if you don't know anything about them, I hope you will be when we're finished here. But before we dig in, let me remind you again of our historic context. Really important to do that every time that we're together. Where is the Apostle Paul at this time? He's in Rome, and he's what? He's under house arrest. He was accused of starting a riot in Jerusalem, and he was to go on trial there, but he appealed to Caesar. He was a Roman citizen. He said, "I don't want that trial here. I'm going to go to Rome." So they shipped him off to Rome. He's under house arrest awaiting trial. Now, the folks in Philippi is in Greece. They hear about Paul's situation, and they know that he has some needs. And because of it, they send this man, Epaphroditus, to him for two reasons. First, to minister to him. They probably brought him some money to help buy him food and various things like that. In that day, you didn't get provided for if you were in jail. Much of it you had to provide for yourself. So they sent him some money, and Epaphroditus was going to go and minister to him. But the second thing, Epaphroditus is also going to tell him about the problems in the church. Well, we've got some struggles going on, and that's what we've been studying over the last few months here in this epistle. Some of those problems, some of the challenges. There were problems from the outside, opposition, but the big issue was that they were having problems with each other, problems on the inside. And since Paul couldn't leave and go to Philippi, he wrote him a letter. And that's a letter that we have in our Bibles that we're studying here. And he's going to try and give some solutions to those problems. Now, in chapter 2, Paul highlighted a key principle that Dr. Joel Kim spoke on a few weeks back. The principle is going to be the main idea that we're going to be emphasizing during our time together. It simply stated this way, is that an attitude of humility is the prerequisite for relational unity. It's only when we approach our relationships without pride and arrogance, only with that attitude of humility, that those relationships are going to come together. And Paul is going to drive this home, and he starts in chapter 2 and verse 1. See it with me? This will set our context and then launch us into our study. Paul writes, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation or comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." The bickering, the division, the infighting in the church, Paul says, that's got to stop, because it goes against the encouragement, the consolation or comfort, the fellowship, the affection and compassion and joy that Jesus gives us in this colony of heaven. It goes against all of the things that the Holy Spirit has been working in you. And it certainly went against everything that the Apostle Paul had taught them since he founded the church. And essentially, he says to him, enough. Division and discord, they were not God's purpose for those believers. His purpose was unity. Same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So, how could unity be restored? Verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, there's our key phrase, regard one another as more important or better than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, please listen to me carefully. This verse is not saying that it's a sin to look out for your own personal interests. There's a lot of Christians who hear this verse and immediately think, if I take any time to rest for myself, that somehow I'm a bad Christian. That is not what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Taking care of yourself, it's just called being responsible. The problem is when our own interests are the only ones that we look out for. And essentially, we tell everybody else to take a hike. And when that kind of, what Paul calls empty conceit, when that dictates how we approach and interact with others, the outcome's always the same. Strife, disharmony, disunity, relationships pull apart. And the end result is always pain. And it's not what God wants for your life, my life, for our lives together as a church. James said it this way, where there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there is what? Disorder and every evil thing. I think we see that everywhere today. And appreciate, Luke, your prayer, your comments. But it's the inevitable result. And I'm going to take just 1 minute, just step out here. In every occurrence, like what we saw yesterday, every occurrence. No, there's lots of reasons for it and a lot of things that everybody's going to be talking about. But for us as followers of Jesus, please understand, there is an enemy of our soul that wants to destroy, and he is a liar and he is a murderer. And everything that goes down that road of deceit and killing, he's got a hand in it. And so we, our focus, that's the spiritual dimension of our lives and how we approach these issues and every other issues is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. He's got us. He's got this situation. We gather on Sunday morning to remind ourselves that our God is in control. If you believe it, say amen. But that's why we're here, see. And we come together, encourage each other. All of life, if we approach it with humility of mind, the natural result is unity. And we can apply this across the board. And our those of us who are blessed to be married, you go to your spouse and you put on that humility of mind, I promise you, things will start coming together at home. Same thing with all the teenagers. The problem with teenagers is that their brains aren't fully developed, so it's kind of harder for them. But for all you teenagers, see, if you approach your home life and your relationship, say if you're living with your folks, if you approach those with this humility of mind that we're talking about, and you start looking out for maybe your folks' interests, things will start coming together. And it's true for athletic teams, it's true for businesses and employee groups and all the above, not to mention grandmas and grandpas, you know, kind of our big thing, you know. So the principle is clear. Relational unity is built on the foundation of a humble attitude. And to drive it home, the apostle just started listing examples. Top of the list, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's the example of humility of mind for you and for me to copy. The challenge with all of that is that Jesus was perfect, and we're not perfect. Can I get a witness on that? We are far from perfect. And I think that's part of the reasons why Paul started listing some other examples. And without drawing undue attention to himself, Paul says, I'm kind of that example too. Pastor Esteban spoke about this last week. Verse 17, Paul writes, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice, I'm glad, and I share my joy with you all. Paul says, I'm more than willing. Give up my life, it'll help you. That's that mindset of humility. If it's good for you, I'll walk down that road here. See, that is a life worth imitating. And to drive it home even more, in this next section, he's going to give two examples. That's this Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, what do we know about Timothy? He was Paul's constant traveling companion. He might be one of the most named persons in the whole New Testament, over and over and over again. Everywhere that Paul went, Timothy went. Very, very active in his life here. As a matter of fact, we had two of our letters in our New Testament written personally to Timothy. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Epaphroditus, we don't know much about him at all other than what's written here. His name means favored of Aphrodite. Aphrodite was the mythological Greek goddess of love. He was named after her and gives rise to the thought that he might have been just a pagan guy who got saved. What was he like? Paul listed some titles for him. Verse 25 called him my brother. Not literally, but they were brothers in the faith. My fellow worker, So obviously Epaphroditus was involved somehow in the ministry. My fellow soldiers, they fought common enemies against the gospel. Your messenger sent to inform and minister to my need. Those are the two things that we've highlighted here. So he's probably a godly layman or some kind of pastoral role in the church there in Philippi, and he's just living out his pledge of allegiance to the colony of heaven. So these two, they're very, very different backgrounds, but they're both held up. Copy these folks. Imitate these people. See how Paul states it down in verse 29? The apostle was going to send these two guys back with the letter here to Philippi. And the church family, verse 29, was to receive or welcome them then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like them in high regard. Of high regard, it's an adjective that most normally is translated as precious. The NIV and the ESV that you have in your pew rack translate the word as honor. Honor folks like this. Why? Because they give godly examples for everybody to follow. So, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? I've used a lot of words to get to this point, so thanks for bearing with me, okay? But you want the message from the Lord this morning? When you leave here, please go and imitate the mindset of humility that these men showed. Go out of your way to not just think about your own interest, to go and think about other people's interests in your family, in your neighborhood, at your job, whatever it is that you're doing today, out playing, out resting, taking a nap, whatever it is you got going. Copy this, and your relationships will start to come together. Humility is the prerequisite for unity, okay? That's the message. That's the big idea. So, go and start thinking about everybody else around you and watch what God does, all right? Now, with that stated, what does a mindset of humility look like? Paul is then going to highlight five things. You live with this mindset, here's what people will start to see. First, it'll show with unselfishness. Verse 19, let's dig into our text now. Paul writes, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. So Paul says, here's the letter, Timothy. You take it back to Philippi. You read this letter to them. Stay there and minister, but then come back before my trial. I want to find out how they respond to my letter. And I think the idea here is that, you know, if I'm condemned to death, at least I'll die happy, knowing what's going on in these folks' lives. See? Why did he trust Timothy with the assignment? Verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit. I have no one else like him. The original phrase, it's a compound Greek word that literally translates as equal-souled. Equal-souled, their souls were connected here. So apparently Paul looked around at all the different people in the church at Rome at this time, and the only person that had the same passion as he did for the church at Philippi was Timothy. They were like-minded. Timothy was one of a kind. Why? Verse 20, Timothy will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. He actually has an interest in what happens to you and you and you and you and you. He's not going to flatter you. He's not going to use deceit. He's not going to beguile you so that you'll give him more money. He really does have your best interests at mind. See? If I had to sum it up, this whole mindset, you want to know if you have a mindset of humility? The whole attitude is not about me. I think in some ways, here at Emmanuel Faith Church, God has given me the ministry of memories. What God has done over 85 years. And there's so many who approach life, you know, and I look out and, yeah, I know. This is why God has built this church. Nice to have Chris with us because you're in that camp, Chris. Bev is here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But in my preparation, I thought of two people in particular. On the right, Jim Welch. Jim was the associate pastor here for 40 years. A lot of people don't know Jim because Jim's whole life was, it's not about me. He just started every ministry that ever started at Emmanuel Faith. Started children's ministry, started missions. He was the business administrator. He did everything. And the biggest challenge is they couldn't pay him. So he also had a part-time job. And I just can't say enough about Greg. I had some ideas. Greg made them happen. And he put up with me for a long time. Not about me. I see this in Jeremy Johnson, too. So I'm just telling you, that's the mindset of humility. Is it time to get over yourself? If you want to pull together with people, the prerequisite is this mindset of humility. It shows in an unselfishness, secondly. A passion for Jesus' interests, verse 21, Timothy's desire, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. The they refers back to all of those other ministers, those spiritual leaders in the Church of Rome. They were mentioned back in chapter 1, who proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition. That just sounds so wrong, doesn't it? Rather than from pure motives. And so Paul was looking for somebody to go with Epaphroditus, and he's looking out among these guys, and there's nobody. Because they're all after their own interests. Present tense of the verb would emphasize they're continuously doing this. They're more interested in greater crowds. They're more interested in, you know, a bigger reputation of whatever. They're not interested in doing the behind the scenes work. Their mindset was that it's all about me. And the thing that struck me is Paul says in verse 21, it's not some of them, but it was all of them. I don't know if you're familiar with one of the names in the New Testament, a guy by the name of Demas. Having loved this present world, he deserted me. He abandoned Paul, abandoned the Lord's work, fell in love with the things of the world, said, I'm done. And it's interesting, Demas was from Rome. He was probably one of those guys. So all he could find was Timothy. And the thing that set Timothy apart, that sets everybody with a humility mind apart. It's not my agenda. It's God's agenda. So if you ask somebody around you, what do you think I'm passionate about? Would the interests of Christ be on that list? And I'm not saying that it's wrong in any way to be passionate about other interests, whatever it is, quilting, whatever it is. I like to do woodworking. I can turn $100 worth of wood into $12 worth of furniture with the best of them. And I'm not suggesting that you just pile more and more ministry things on an already too busy life to where we collapse. I'm simply explaining that women and men with a mindset of humility revolve their lives around the king of the colony of heaven. That's what we were trying to emphasize with the chess piece. It all revolves around the king. And when that mindset, but that's what grabs us. Unselfishness, passionate, thirdly, pattern of serving. Timothy, verse 22, Paul says, you know of his proven worth. Timothy had helped Paul start this church. They knew Timothy. They knew his reputation. His character had been tested. His character had been proven true time and time and time again. They knew, verse 22, how he served with me, with Paul, in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Jesus took the form of a bondservant, so did Timothy. And he gave up his personal agenda, and he went around the world spreading the gospel. And when Paul needed someone to go back to Philippi with Epaphroditus, Timothy was available because his whole mindset was, how can I help? How can I help? What can I do to make this better? What can I do? See, it's not about me. It's all about his agenda. So how can I help you in this process? See? And if we took that approach with each other, in our homes, wherever, things would really change. Because it's the prerequisite for unity. This is what pulls people together here. I think that most of us have rented a car before. You go and rent a car, you drive it and use it and you bring it back. Do you wash it? Do you vacuum it? You change the oil on it? Why not? Not my car. And what has set Emmanuel Faith Church apart for 85 years? It's because of the vast majority of people who have said, it is my car. This is my church. I'm a part of this. So how can I help? How can I help? What can I do? I still need help with VBS. But you go out here and you just walk through. all out here and the parking people and Steve crossing the street, you know, and doing what Steve does. And these folks that sit up here inconspicuously keeping you safe, keeping me safe. And all the adult fellowship classes and all these dear folks singing in the choir, all these dear folks playing music. You don't know how good this is until you don't get here every week. Just tell you. What sets them apart? It's a mindset. How can I help? What can I do? An attitude of humility is a foundation for relational unity. Let's keep going, okay? Fourth, priority on people. Priority on people. True for Jesus, true for Paul, Epaphroditus, verse 26. It's why he was sending him back home. Verse 26, Epaphroditus was heading home because he was longing for you all. He had this continuous, intense desire to be back with the Philippians. He loved being with the people from his church. That's not always the case here, because some of us are harder to get along with than others. Always affectionately called them EGR people. Remember that? Extra grace required people. And I used to have a nameplate on my desk here and had a little note that I wrote on the back to myself. It's the people, stupid. Because I would forget that. Somebody would, you know, be a knucklehead and, you know. And I started thinking it's the stupid people. I got those mixed up a little bit. And I began to realize that that's the ministry. And the thing that really changed in me was discovering that I was one of those EGR people. I mean, just ask my wife. ask my kids. There are times when we all do it, you see. Well, Jesus helps us. Jesus helped me. And when that humility of mindset kind of gets into us, not only how can I help, but whom can I serve? That people become the priority. Where for Epaphroditus, verse 26, he was distressed and you heard that he was sick. We have no idea what it was. The word actually means without strength. So it could have been a whole bunch of different things. Serious, verse 27, for indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. So if Epaphroditus had died, Saul would have had great sorrow, also his sorrow for the Philippians. But he got better, verse 28, therefore I've sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned or anxious about you. So, people, you don't have to be an extrovert to have a priority on people. You can be an introvert. You may know one person, but the whole mindset in that one person, towards that one person is whom can I serve? How can I help this person? So, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Yeah, put on that mindset of humility. It'll show this selfishness, this passion, this pattern, this priority. And let me just wrap this up. Propensity for taking risks. See how Epaphroditus described the end of verse 29. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy. Hold men like him in high regard. Verse 30. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Risking his life. Really interesting. It's a gambling phrase that Paul took. Literally means to throw aside, and the image is taking some dice and giving them a roll. So apparently here, Epaphroditus rolled the dice when he went to Rome. He put his life on the line when he accepted the difficult assignment. And notice, it wasn't to preach. It wasn't to evangelize. It was to go and do the behind-the-scenes work. Wasn't going to be the big upfront thing. And he was doing for Paul what the folks 700 miles away couldn't do. Why did he go? His mindset. That the work of Christ was worth the risk. Epaphroditus, his life is worth imitating. And many people did. It's interesting, in the early church history, there was a group that started calling themselves the Parabolani, which is a form of the Greek verb here to risk your life. They were a group who went and ministered to people with contagious diseases that nobody else would go. And every time they went in to help and preach the gospel, they were rolling the dice. They were taking the risk. Now, I am not in any way saying or implying that you should go into a place where there's some deadly pathogens without protective wear. I'm not saying any of that. Okay, please hear me clearly on that. But what I am saying is this. Don't be afraid to take that risk and a step of faith. That's what citizens who have pledged allegiance to the colony of heaven do. Taking steps of faith, taking risks, investing yourself. So many of you are doing this. I'm just going to tell you, keep going. You're investing your time, your energy, your money, your opportunities, your personal interest, your priorities. You're taking a step of faith to advance the cause of our King. Don't be afraid. There'll be new steps of faith to take. And the scriptures promise us if we do that, it'll be well worth the risk, and the rewards will come as our relationships draw together here. Humility is a prerequisite for unity. All right, one story. Hard to believe that the Olympic Games start in 2 weeks, the 26th opening ceremonies in Paris. I started thinking about the Olympics. My mind went to 100 years ago, the Paris Olympics, 1924. And the reason it went there was because it was the time when a man by the name of Eric Little was involved in a controversy. Eric Little, if you know anything about his story, you're familiar with, he was a devout Christian man. And he discovered that the race that he had been preparing for 4 years for was going to be held on a Sunday. And he thought Sundays were a day of rest and a day of worship. And so the race that he had, he was a 100-meter guy, the race that, the 4x100-meter relay, those two races, he said, I'm not running. I just won't do it. And his whole story was told in the Academy Award-winning film called Chariots of Fire. You're familiar with it. 1981. Well, after the kind of brouhaha about the not running, his coaches said, we'll let you run the 400 meters. And so, because it wasn't on Sunday. And so he had not prepared for that race at all, but he went out and he ran the race and he won the gold medal. He also set a world record at that time. 1 year after that, Eric Little went to China as a missionary, where he faithfully spread the gospel out into the rural areas of China. And when Japan invaded, Eric Little was captured and taken as an enemy national, he was called. He was one of 1,800 POWs that got crowded into this very small pen together. But during that time, Eric Little, he taught the scriptures. He taught the men how to sing, set up some athletic events for them. He continued to do what he was all about, humility of mind. 1 month before he would have been released with the victories of the forces, Eric Little died of a brain tumor. And the way that the movie highlighted it was just a little comment at the end. Do you remember what was written? Eric Little, missionary, died in occupied China at the end of World War II. All of Scotland mourned. He was a national hero of Scotland. And boy, when he died, everybody was sad. I tell you, Scotland mourned, but the colony of heaven rejoiced. Because he wasn't living for Scotland. He was living for that city that he was going to by faith that God has prepared for all those who love him and know him, for all of those who call him king. All of heaven rejoiced because one of their own came home. Beloved, listen. Follow the example, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Eric Little, tons of them. Because we're all following the example of our Lord Jesus. Unselfish, passionate, a pattern of serving, prioritized on people. A propensity for taking risks. He goes to the cross and dies knowing that he would rise from the dead. And because of that, you and I and we today have hope. Did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Put on that mindset of humility. And let's go out of our way to see what God does in bringing us together. Amen. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Oh, our Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness and your grace you've poured out to us in your Son. And Lord Jesus, I and we together, we just want to lift you up because there is none like you. You've given your everything for us, and we in turn want to rest in your provision, trust in your goodness and your unconditional love, and in response say thank you. Help me, help us today. Knowing that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So pour out your grace in my heart and our hearts together, and work in me and work in us and continue to work at Emmanuel Faith Church. Yes, Lord, so that you would be honored. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.